Say, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on.
Presence of the Lord rain on your family. Let the presence of the Lord not just rain on me, but rain on my sisters, rain on my brothers, Rain on my friends. Rain on, Lord, everyone, every pastor, every preacher. Rain. That's our prayer, is that even though there's a time where we so need God, but if you can just every now and then send up in the atmosphere a praise and a prayer for someone else. Lord, rain on my neighbor. Rain on my coworker, because right now it seems as though we are in the season, men and women of God, that our brothers, our sisters, our coworkers, our friends, even strangers just need some love. They need some encouragement. They need some strength right now. And that's what we're here to do. As God's men and women of God, chosen men and women of God, as God's kingdom citizens, we are to give them God's presence. And it just amazes me, because I will ever keep it in my mind what my sister said to me one day when, you know, we were talking about, you know, people attending church and going to church and not seeing the people that I've been so used to seeing. And she said, Valoris, you have to remember you are the church, and sometimes you have to go to them. We're so trying to get people to come to God, and we need to take God to the people sometime. Meet them right where they are, because you have to remember that if you don't see Sister Sue at church, or you don't see Brother Michael at church, there might be something that just you reaching out to them is something that they need. Because again, they keep wondering, okay, you keep wanting me to come to the four walls, but I might can't make it, you know, to the location. I might not have enough gas to make it. I might not have enough washing power to finish washing my clothes. I might not have the things that I need. And even though you say come as you are, but people's minds are not wrapped around that. So the Spirit of the Lord just had me to go in that direction. And we're going to go ahead and begin to start. And I saw, and the reason why is because I saw a clip of a young lady who committed suicide on last night, and it was a known news meteorologist. So on Channel 2 News, I don't know what city was in, but that article came across my news feed, and I stopped for a minute, and it just gripped me, because you just never know what a person is going through. You look at them and think that they have the great job, or they have the great family, or they have the great children, or, you know, and more money than you, better car than you, and all this other stuff, but you just never know. So please, throughout the rest of this year, please just reach out to someone, give them a smile, give them a hug, give them a touch, give them something, because we don't need to keep losing our own brothers and sisters. We don't need to keep losing them because they made the choice to take their life. So, but family, good evening, good evening, good evening. I am so glad to be here with you guys. You just don't understand the joy that I have to be here. And this last month was a very difficult month for me in regards to my health. I was already faced with one situation with my adrenal glands possibly not functioning correctly. And, you know, that one is not a sickness unto death. So it's like, okay, I can kind of roll with that. And we're just going to find out where it's at and then figure out, you know, what's the course of action. But right in the middle of going through that, another health issue surfaced its little ugly head. And in the middle of going through that, I had to go get tested for cancer. And good Lord, I held on. Trust me, I held on to, oh my goodness, I held on, y'all. I kept the faith. I truly did. I kept the faith, and I thank God that he brought me through both situations. The one situation came back that I just got, you know, some benign tumors. So we good with that. I can handle that. And the other situation came out not, you know, the way we wanted it. Need to be on some more medication, but hey, I'm still yet here, and I'm just going to keep on pressing, y'all. So thank you so much for the prayers. So let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that right now I would like, Father, for your Spirit to rain down on us. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that what rains on us, Lord, what showers down upon us is overabundance, God, that it can then rain and shower on someone else, shower on someone that's next to us, closest to us, in our family, in our homes, or on our jobs, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because your people right now need strength and encouragement during this last few days of this year, oh God. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to strengthen us, even though the things that we're going through, Lord, whether we're going through our own health situation, our own financial struggles, our own, Father, confused minds and broken hearts, no matter what we're going through, God, help us to keep leaning and trusting and depending upon you. And Lord, make our light shine even brighter, oh Lord, even when we're going through our situations, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, God, in your sight only, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your men and women of God receive a word on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So again, family, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're on the broadcast with me today. And today I want to talk about a topic that just hit my spirit, man, on last week real bold. And the topic is how bad do you want it? So you know Pastor V going to be Pastor V today. Listen, it don't matter. I'm going to be Pastor V on today. How bad do you want it? Is the title of the message today. And I need you to get your Bibles because we're going to work this word together, okay? So get your Bibles, write the scripture down. Make sure that you always go back and reread the scriptures and get revelation. But there's two scriptures when Spirit was speaking to me and I said, wow, that was powerful. And, I said, well, wow, what scriptures go with that? And these were the two that the Spirit of God brought to me. And the first one is going to be John chapter 5, verse 6. John chapter 5, verse 6. And I'm going to read that in the English Standard Version, okay? So John chapter 5, verse 6. We're talking again, how bad do you want it? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? That's the only scripture, that's the only one I'm going to read in that. The next one that I'm going to take you to, but I'm going to give me a few minutes so you be ready, is going to be John chapter 4. But before I go to my next scripture, remember that this man was at the pool of Bethesda who tried to explain why he had not been healed after Jesus had asked him a question. And it's just interesting because I can just imagine in my own imagination, so if you can go with me in your imagination, about his situation, okay? So better yet, go in your own imagination about your own situation. Because we talk and we say so many times about what we wish would happen, okay? I can recall numerous times, even this year, what I wish would happen, how you feel that life will be different or better if just this or that, or if you could just do this or that. You remember those conversations that I'm talking about? Either you have them with yourself or you have them with a close friend where you just chatting and you just saying, man, if I could just do this, or man, if I just had that, or man, if it wasn't like this, or if I could change that, you know, things like that. We have those conversations. And so now I know that this man, remember, he had been there for 38 years. Being in this situation, I know he had to say the same thing. Okay, so we're going to fill in the story ourselves for a moment. I know he had to have that same conversation with those that were sitting on the porch with him or laying on the porch or however they were there. I know he had to have that same conversation. If I could just walk, I could go do this. If I just wasn't in this situation, I could do that. Or, you know, I it wouldn't be like this. It would be like that. And it said so much that we say that so much. We have that conversation so much, so many times, and it's so easy to say those things come out our mouth. It's almost that it's more so just wishful thinking. You're saying those things because to you it's wishful thinking. If I just had, if this was that, if that was that, it's a wishful thinking type conversation. And what really
is interesting is because we don't put belief to wishful thinking. It's just something that we say. And it was interesting because this man probably had the same conversational wishful thinking and didn't realize what you've been thinking and what you've been speaking can happen if you believe. So, and when Jesus came to the man and asked him about what he had already been thinking or what he'd been talking to his friends about, he began to do this see what had happened was kind of story. Okay? And it's amazing. So I want you to just to stay there for a minute. Remember, just remind yourself of some of those conversations that you had about how you wish, how this could be this, how that could be that, those wishful type thinking conversations. So now let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Because because Jesus asked, do you want to be made whole? So my question still to you is, how bad do you want it? And I'm going to tie it all in for you. So John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now he had to go through Samaria. I'm reading in the NIV version, pardon me, NIV. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Hear that verse. If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you, just like the man at the pool, if you knew who was asking you that question, you wouldn't have even had the type of response that he had. He wouldn't have had the type of response that he had. So going on, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this, and the well is deep? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. I want to take that last verse and encourage someone, encourage us, encourage myself. When she said, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. How bad do you want it? So the other day, how this message came about, the other day I was worshiping God, and I was worshiping God in prayer and song, and I decided to do one of the worship songs, you know, that was taught to me in the Church of God in Christ, and that is the I Need Thee, oh, I Need Thee. And I'm just in a beautiful state and in a beautiful moment, and I'm just like, I need thee, oh, I need thee. And the Spirit interrupted me and said, you need me, but you don't want me. I was thrown back like, what? Like, what did you just say? Then the Spirit went on to say, when you have a need, after the need is met, you no longer need the one who supplied the resource. You need me, but you don't want me. I'm like, wow, like, how could you say such a thing? You know, I didn't say that, but in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, how could the Spirit of God say such a thing? And then, you know, kept going on to say, have you ever needed someone? And I want to ask you this, same question. Have you ever needed someone to help you to do something? And then when it was done, they began to hang around. And you begin to look at them a little crazy, like, why are you still here? It's done. I don't need you anymore. And so I began to really cry and really hurt my heart because I was recalling, even though I thought I had the want and the desire, like I thought I should have for God, I was recalling the instance when I kept saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. Lord, I need you, need you. I need you in the doctor. I need you to show. I need you this. And I kept saying, it was so repetitive of me going through my situation and not just that whole situation, but other ones to keep saying how I needed God. And I remember was going back in my mind and saying, okay, but yet, God, I'm still, you know, serving you. But I remember in times past that there were times where God showed up, and then it seemed like I just kind of exited a little bit stage left. And I don't know if anyone else is like that or have been like that or experienced that where you're reading, you're fasting, you're praying, you're singing, you're so holified when something is going wrong in your life and you really need God. And then when God shows up and that thing is resolved, you don't pray like you used to pray no more. You don't read. It don't say that you're not saved. It's just that all that you were doing to get that need met, you no longer are doing after it has been satisfied. Are you hearing me? When you want something, that changes the whole desire and drive you have before getting it, waiting on it, and after receiving it. Hear me, when you say the word, I want, that just seems to just give a different type of energy, a different type of force, a different, like, it's just like everything in your body and in your spirit just comes to attention, like she wants something. So if she wants something, therefore we have to get it, and we have to stay focused to get it. And even if we get it because we wanted it, and now that we have it, we're going to stay focused to keep it. Hear me and what I'm saying. The woman at the well said, listen, Jesus, this is how this scripture came about, because when the Spirit dropped this scripture, and I said, okay, tie it all in for me. Because when she told Jesus, I want what you're talking about. I want, not just I need, I want that living water. Okay, and I want it so bad that I don't want to have to need again. Are you hearing me? Hear that. Oh, my, please hear that and recite it to yourself. I want it, and I want it so bad that I don't have to need again. If I tell God what I want, then I will never be in need again. What happens is that if you look at it, again, just look at it in natural. If I need something, when that need is satisfied, I'm going to need again. Are you hearing me? I'm going to need again. But we're talking about spiritual. So I understand natural, yeah, you're gonna need to eat again, and yeah, you're gonna need to wash again, and you're gonna need to do some things again. But spiritually, I don't want to need to keep having to do the same thing over and over again in this spiritual walk by stumbling or falling and failing. I don't want to have to need again. I want God, and I desire him that much that I want him to not just meet the need, but meet the want that I have for him, okay? Because in me wanting, it will make sure your mind, your life, my surroundings, and everything is conducive to receiving it. See, it's different. When you need something, you just sit kind of lackadaisy, is what I'm trying to say. If I just need something, you just, again, that's that kind of wishful thinking. You're just kind of nonchalant, sitting around waiting for it to come, waiting for it not to come, or this, that, and the other. But when I want something, I'm preparing my mind, my life, my surroundings, and everything else to receive what I want. So you make sure that everything is out the way. You make sure that everything is on point. You make sure that when you desire, when you really want something, you will make sure that when it's ready to come, it has its space to come and arrive. Okay? So what I'm wanting to do is to get us to change our desire for God from a need to a want. Change how we ask or petition God. We have been saying, God, I need you to change my mind. Lord, I need you to change my heart. Lord, I need you to change my marriage. Lord, I need you to heal my body. One word. Can you understand? One word can change the whole dynamics of the situation. Lord, I want my mind changed. Oh, did that just hit somebody? See, again, that word just gives you a feeling and a drive, like I'm focused, I'm ready, I'm going to stay on point. Lord, I want a new heart. Lord, I want your spirit in me. Lord, I want to think like you. Lord, I want to love like you. My Jesus, I want this. And I want it, Lord, that I'm going to stay focus and connect it to you in order to receive it. And not just to receive it, to turn from it, but to receive it and do everything I need to do to keep it. I don't know about you, but when I want to do something, it propels my faith in action. There is no stopping me and when there's something I want to do. How bad do you want God? Do you want it bad enough that you'll tell God that you want it? Or are you still playing with your needs, with the word need? Let me tell you what playing with needs do. Playing with need keeps your faith on the fence. Again, because it's kind of like that thing that's kind of tossed up in the air, kind of just wishful thinking. So therefore, your faith stays on the fence. Playing with needs keep the devil on your heels. When I want something, oh, I will fight the devil and everything else. When I change that to, no, I want this. So guess what? If you got to go, I removed all kinds of stuff off my table. I removed all kinds of people out of my life. I removed all kinds of situations that were surrounding me because playing with needs kept the devil on my heels with my on the fence kind of faith. But when I really got down to it, and this is what I want, there was a fight that came up in me. Oh, I'm going to fight you for this. Playing with needs keep you thirsty. The woman at the well said, no, I want that living water because I don't want that to come here no more. Playing with needs keep you thirsty. A thirst that is never quenched. A thirst that will keep on driving you crazy, having to quench your thirst. But when you are over with want, I want the living water. I want the Spirit of God. There's no thirst in it no more. So it was interesting because not only did the Spirit of God, you know, give me that revelation, but also, too, I remember there was a time where I was listening to motivational messages in the morning. And when you're listening to some of them, you get some of the ones that are athletes and, you know, things like that, that kind of are mixed in with the other spiritual motivations. And they're great as well. And I remember always hearing how bad do you want it? I always remember in different motivational messages, I can't think of his name right now, but he always kept saying, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? So I said, okay, let me go back and look at and listen to some of those videos that I have saved, that they were always, you know, showing the athletes with the sweat dripping from, you know, their face, and they're crouched down and breathing hard, and you could just tell that they just did a great workout, or they're training for the Olympics or whatever they're training for, and then they showing them, like, just going for it. and the announcer is saying, how bad do you want it? So I looked up some of the narrative of that, and what I found was very interesting. So I want to give you some points in this. I don't want to leave you without any points to think on. And first thing that I saw in this one book that is for athletes on how bad do you want it, it says there is an automatic set off of a reaction when you tell yourself or when the question is asked, presented to you, how bad do you want it? There's an automatic reaction that begins to set itself off. Number one, the first thing, I'm going to do a natural and I'm going to do a spiritual. Okay? So the first thing the book said is they push back their limits to uncover their full potential. When they're in that mode of how bad do you want it, they push back any limits and uncover their full potential. So spiritually, I need us to want it that we push back every hindrance and remove the limits to reach our full potential. Why can't we do that? How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough that you're willing to push back those hindrances, that you're willing to tell people, some people no, that you're really willing to cut off some relationships, that you're willing to push back those limits, whether you feel that your mind can't do it or you feel that you don't have the knowledge to do it, you don't have the skill to do it or the resources? How bad do you want it that you're willing to push back those limits and uncover your own full potential in God? My God. Second thing, they get tough in their mind and begin to determine how close they can get to their physical limit. They get tough in their mind. Even though their body tells them no, they tell their body, yes, you will. They try to determine what is their physical limitation. Spiritually, I want us to get tough in our prayer life, in our study life, for us to reach our spiritual purpose. You have to get tough in this thing. You have to start buckling down. You have to start getting a focus. You have to start getting a plan. You have to start getting a daily regimen going on, just like they do. They wake up and jog in the morning. They go work out in the afternoon, whatever the athletes do. You have to do the same thing. You have to get tough. You don't want it if you don't get tough about it. You don't want it if you don't try to say, hey, you know what, in the morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to read and I'm going to do this and I'm going to read and this is my prayer time, this is my study time, this is, I'm going to make sure. You don't want it if you don't do that. I don't want a gold medal because I ain't getting up going to the gym. I'm barely getting up walking. But if I wanted a gold medal, I would get up and I will make sure that I have a set schedule, a set eating regimen, exercise regimen. That's how tough you have to get in your mind that you are determined to push the limit. You have to get tough in your prayer life, in your study life, in your fast life, in order to reach your spiritual purpose. Then it says, number three, they brace themselves for a tough race or workout, and when they do, it boosts their performance even more by 15%. They brace themselves for a tough race or a tough workout, and because they brace themselves for that, it actually increases their performance by 15%. Y'all already know where I'm going to go with that one. My God. I want us to brace for the storms and the tests that we go through, because when we stand on what we want, it is going to come out even more in abundance. Let me try to say that again. When you brace yourself for the tests and storms, you're not just going to get what you want. You're going to get an overflow. hear me. You like, really? Yeah. Because if you brace yourself and say, listen, for God I live, for God I die, Lord, I want this. And God matches your spirit with, hey, he's really studying, he's really fasting, this is something here he really wants. Don't just give him what he asks for, but even give him an overflow. The word, the Matthew, what, 13 and 8 says, he going to return it to you 30, 60, and 100-fold. God never just gives you what you put in. He always gives you an abundance. But do you want it? You're not going to get that on need. I'm sorry. You're not going to get that on need. You're only going to get that on want. That's why I said, in need, you're going to remain thirsty. In need, you're going to remain needing. But when you get over into, I want this from you, God, I want you to do this for me, you're going to get a return. It's going to increase 30, 60, 100-fold more than what you could even ask or think. Because when you're in want, you're also in obedience. God, I want more of you. I want more of your spirit. Lord, I want your wisdom. Lord, I want you to change my mind. I want you to change my heart. And because you want it, it's going to keep you in obedience, that discipline. Just like I'm saying, they got a discipline regimen. That's the word I was looking for in my mind. A discipline is going to keep you in discipline, which means it's going to keep you in obedience. And in obedience is the overflow of God. Hallelujah. It says here, in a different article that I was reading, it says, champions have learned how to give more of what they have. The only way to improve performance is by altering how you perceive effort. The only way to improve performance is by altering how you perceive effort. Choking under pressure is a form of self-consciousness. Your attitude in daily life is the same one you bring to the sport. There's no such thing as going as fast as you can, only going faster than you did before. Men and women of God, do you want it? The first one, it says champions have learned how to give more of what they have. Men and women of God, can we learn to give more? Can we learn to give more of our time? Can we? Those are people that really want. They learn to give more. If you want it, you're going to have to learn to give more of your time. You're going to have to learn to give more of your ties. You're going to learn to give more of your talent. You have to learn to give more of yourself. You're going to learn to give. You're going to learn to sacrifice is the word we use. Learn to give more if you want it. It's not going to come if you don't put nothing in it. Jesus, help us, God. It says the only way to improve performance is by altering how you perceive effort. Spiritually, improve our performance by changing our thinking and stop giving half effort. If you want it, you're going to change how you think. I began to, immediately after the Spirit spoke, I began to change my thinking. Oh, my goodness. I began to change a lot of things. And I'm not intentionally trying to hurt anybody's feelings in my immediate surroundings. I don't care if it's home or church or work or this, that, and the other, but I had to change my thinking more so to the positive. I can't do the negative. I can't go on that ship with you no more. I can't entertain that in thinking, okay, well, let me just listen and let me try to help and let me just let them vent and let me just, you know, because that's what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to, baby, there's times it's like, no, okay, we on number complaint number 15 already today. Boo, I'm not going to do that with you. Everything you're going to complain about, I can't do that, and I'm not going to do that. So I changed my thinking. Then it says choking under pressure is a form of self-consciousness. Know that failing is not an option in Christ. We've already won. You are, see, this, remember, I'm talking about athletes. First, but when I'm talking about spiritually, understand, you already won. Christ already won. What do you say? It is finished. You've already won. So therefore, don't choke under pressure. Therefore, don't give in when those tests and trials come against you. Don't. St- stand bold and know that God is with you. The Spirit of God is with you, and victory is already yours. It says your attitude in daily life is the same one you bring to the sport. That one's the one right there. I love that. I done highlighted that one in bold. I'm going to put that one on a sticky note and plaster it somewhere, because your attitude about life is the same attitude you're going to have in your relationship about God. Hear me when I tell you that. Your attitude that you have about your life right now, I guarantee you, is the same attitude you giving God in your relationship with God right now. If right now you have an attitude about life that you just ain't concerned about it, or this all bad and this, that, and the other, trust me, that's the same attitude you giving God. How bad do you want it? I need to change how you even think about you right now. Because when you change about how you think and feel about you, that changes the relationship that you have with God, and then God can come in and do those things that you've been wanting him to do. But he can't do that when you over there in need and you have given effort, have given him prayer, have given him study. He can't do that. The last one, there is no such thing as going as fast as you can, only faster than before. There's no such thing as not going higher, but you can only go higher than before. Yes, you can continue to go higher. You can continue to go in deeper revelation, knowledge of God. You can continue to grow in wisdom. You can continue to grow in the Spirit of God. Yes, you might have one gift right now, but there's no such a thing that you can just have one gift. You can have more gifts than God, but how bad do you want it? Stop limiting yourself. Stop thinking that this is it. This is as far as I can go. No, I want to go further. I want to go higher. I want to go deeper in God. But how bad do you want it? Men and women of God, I truly pray and hope. I truly do that we change to a wanting God, wanting the Spirit of God, wanting the blessings of God, wanting the overflow of God. Like I said, just saying that word and I'm telling it to God, Lord, I want your blessings. I want your wisdom. I want your overflow. I want the change of mind. I want the change of heart. I want the change in my attitude. Just is, man, that just invigorates me. So men and women of God, that was my lesson today. You can dial 1. For questions and comments, I want to open it up. Dial 1, put you in the queue, and be a part of this discussion. Please, I'm hoping that someone else felt it like I felt it when I received it and felt it like I just felt it while teaching it. But you can dial 1 right now. But I like the part again. While you're getting ready for your comments and questions and Pastor E is putting you guys in the queue, I just want to say that again because I like that when it says your attitude about your life is the same attitude that you will have about your relationship with God. Remember, the Spirit of God, while I'm talking with him, he's telling me that, you know, showing me the points, you know, about athletes, and then say, how do you feel about your life right now? Because how you feel about your life right now is how you feel about God. I was like, wow. I need to change that quickly, now, right now. Because how I was feeling about my life at that moment, you know, going through the sickness and waiting on doctor's reports and this, that, and the other, I was not in a good place. And even though I was praying and meditating and singing and reading, it still wasn't wholeheartedly. And I see that now. And that was so profound how my attitude about my own life is the attitude I have with my relationship with God. I started changing that. And amen. I'm hoping that you will too.
Amen. We all need work in that area. Amen. Good word, woman of God. Good word. I thank God for you. What a question to present to each and every one of our listeners. Are you really ready? We talk of good talk, Pastor, but are we really ready to go through the necessary things that it requires of us to have God really move on our behalf? Come on. If you got a comment, question, want to just reach out and give a shout out to the woman of God, go ahead and dial 1. We'll bring you in the queue immediate. Area code 256, last 4, 5349. You're live on Women Speak Now with Pastor Valores.
Pastor V, it's Bishop Townsend from Huntsville, Alabama. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, Bishop. Good to hear from you, sweetie.
Fabulous, fabulous. This is a profound topic and conversation. The way that we have to look at this is when we say wants, we have to think about wants is a permanent fix. Needs are temporary solutions. Because if we look at the scriptures, it says that God will supply all of our needs. So the need is based upon the supply. The supply is based upon the demand. There'll always be a demand if you just need something. So the want is the desire of our heart. Wants are fulfilled, mm-hmm. which is a permanent fix. He comes to fulfill the desire, which wants translate to the desire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What I understand is that we've got to get past a place of just wanting a temporary fix, and we've got to move into the place of needing a permanent solution in our lives. We've got to get off milk, and we've got to be able to digest some food on our own. And that's what the woman at the well realized, that one day I may come back to the well and you may not be here. So what I need for you is something that I can sustain myself with, even if you're not around. And we live in a society now where people run to the prophetic word because it's a quick fix for them. We live in a microwave society where they want everything done right now. They don't want to put the work in for the want. Mm. They just want needs met. So we've got to get past this babe mentality, and we've got to become mature Christians enough to be able to move from our needs and move into our wants, because it's about a progression and not a temporary fix.
Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you, Bishop.
Amen.
My pleasure.
Amen. I love you bringing up Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according." Now, this is the most important part,
right,
Pastor V. And I think you really hit on this. He'll supply all your needs, but it has to be according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And a lot of us want to put our own little mix in there and our own little additives and sneak a little shot in there, but we really must submit ourselves to knowing God will supply, but are we working for him and his riches and glory? Are we trying to do our own selfish thing? Thanks a lot, Bishop. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
God bless you guys as well.
Minister Terry, you are live on Women Speak Now with Pastor Valores.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor V and Pastor E and all the listeners. You know what? It's so good to hear you bring this word the way you have, because a lot of times we do need things, but do we really want it? And I love what you said, how we have to just increase our prayer life, our study life, if we really want this, and our fasting life. Because like you said, I love what you said about the athletes, how they get up and they want to do something and they're going at the medal. But if we're going at the heart of God, and if we really want him, when we want something, we do a lot to get what we want. Yeah, this was an awesome word, I tell you. And you know what, Pastor V, and I'm so pleased I was just over here to hear that you are doing better. Glory be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I
Amen.
Love you.
Love you too.
And I say, yes, and I say, glory to God for this word, because it has been a delight. God
Amen.
Bless you, my sister.
God bless you.
Amen. Bless you, Minister Terry.
Thank you.
And you know, one thing I also too found out, Pastor E, is that when there's a need that is fulfilled, we quick to throw it away when we no longer want it.
Yes.
You know, and I couldn't go further because I had to look at a lot of things in my own life. And, you know, everyone knows that I'm single, and that's even relationships. When you just need some companionship or just some company for the moment, when that moment is over, you toss and don't text them no more, don't call them no more, this, that, and the other. But it's different when you want a relationship with a person. you will continually do what you need to do. You will continue to call and text and things like that. So, again, when you look at, like, going past getting your needs met into want, it changes your whole action.
Boy, you're right about that. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, we got a couple more minutes. Anybody else got a shout-out, question, comment? Dial one, come on in. I see we have a full board this evening. I know you've gotten a word from this woman of God tonight, because I know I have. I'm truly blessed. Amen. We're not twisting arms. I'm going to throw anybody under the bus tonight. We're going to thank you for being a part of the broadcast tonight, and just to let the woman of God know you've maxed you're on your max tonight. I look at the numbers very seldom. Probably later on in the weeks when I look at how many have been on, but tonight we've had a full board complete with people here listening. So God bless, and I just want you to know you've reached one.
Amen.
If it had to be me, you reach one, so we're doing good. Any announcements or anything you have going on up in Wisconsin? I know God is launching some new things in for you in the season of 2019. I know you're in prep mode. Anything you want to share, take this opportunity. But if not, just pray us out of here and bless you guys.
One thing that I want to share, and I truly believe that the attack that I went through this whole entire year was because God has asked me to step out on faith and into my own ministry. And now I'm back focused. When the Spirit spoke, I'm back focused. So there's a page called Spirit and Truth that I have, because that will be the name of my ministry, Spirit and Truth Ministries. Please like that page. The series that I did here on the broadcast of the Why Is That God Testing Me, I did live recordings of those. So you can go back and watch those. It was 14 different tests, so you get to see me live talk about it, which I thank God for that. Also, to next year, my next book will be released hopefully in the month of January. The title of the book is called The Strength of a Woman. I am so ready for that book, because I'm ready for God to take me on the road to be able to talk to women about this book and encourage them that you have the strength within you to overcome. You do have the strength, and you have the strength of your sisterhood as well. So I want to go to different communities and different churches and build the sisterhood back up, so women are empowered to be able to make it through. So please be on the lookout for that. But that's all the announcements that I have that was coming up. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for yet another evening to share with family, and another evening, Father, that you were present with us, Lord. I ask, Lord, that the word that was spoken fall on good ground. Lord, I ask that it goes down in their heart and take root, that they may be able to grow thereby. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you begin to meet the wants of your people right now, Lord. Put the fire, the burn, and the desire down on the inside of us, oh God, that we just, Lord, that we just begin to pray more, fast more, study more, and desire you more, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, keep each and every person, Lord, that has listened to this broadcast as they go over the holidays, Lord, and into the next year until we meet again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
You know, sometimes in life, situations are going to occur where you may look to the left or the right, and you can't find any answers, and you can't find anybody to help you. But I'm reminded of the word that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on, you got to learn how to wait.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord.
'cause I know you're coming after a while. So I don't even mind.